Good morning, fellow students, and welcome back to Legacy Weapon, your guide to the Legacy format. I'm Jamie Keller.
I'm Drew Walton.
And as you might remember, if you've been listening to all our episodes, and we know that you have, we trust that, you're very important to us, we have our special guest for our part two of our interview. We have Alex. Say hey.
Woo! I'm back! Alex Kessler from the Masters of Modern podcast. I'm on again. I was here last week. You probably recognize my voice or face if you are...
Psychic,
looking at me.
Magical.
we kept him in the basement for a week. We let him up just to do this. We're not sure what we're going to do after this show. Well, maybe we'll put it to a vote on Twitter.
They didn't feed me, guys. Ship me food. Postmates.
As always, we are your guide to the Legacy format, helping you get in at the ground floor, get over that initial hump of the perceived barrier to entry. We are hosted, as always, on GatheringMagic.com, and our sponsor is CoolStuffInc.com. So, we have been talking about the modern format, and how it compares to Legacy, how you can move between the two formats. We brought on Alex, and he did a long introduction last time, two long introductions, because he's just that kind of a... big deal, but he
I have
is
a
an
lot
expert
of achievements. I'm tightening my collar.
His sleeves are made of rich mahogany.
His wooden sleeves, that's
okay. You would be impressed if someone showed up with wooden sleeves.
How dare you judge my wooden sleeves? Yeah. These are glorious.
Pile shuffling will never be the same.
A 3,000 old willow died for these sleeves.
A mahogany willow. Okay. All
right. Yeah. I don't know wood. I'm not a wood scientist.
All right.
I'm a modern scientist.
So I think we call those lumberjacks, but anyway.
So Alex has a podcast, Masters of Modern, which is sort of similar to ours, except for modern, of course, because he likes the second best format instead of the best format, and we forgive
Whoa.
Him for that. But
Whoa.
Hey now.
Shots fired.
Fighting words. Well, we wanted to bring him on because we both know Modern a bit, and we know Legacy well. He knows Legacy a bit, and he knows Modern very, very well. So he has been a good resource, and we encourage you to go back and listen to that first episode from the prior week.
Because it was awesome.
It kind of was. We talked about chili at one point. So if you just choose not to, well, this will be... maybe an audit episode.
That's cold. You brought up the chili. That's like the last thing we talked about. They're gonna have to listen to the whole podcast just to get to that chili moment.
That's foreshadowing. That's the hook. That's
I think it's past shadowing. Around. That happened right. already. We're in the future.
back shadowing. So as we said before, though, this is a more advanced episode. We will be talking about cards and decks without naming each of them and reading them all off. So if you have any questions about specific cards or decks or concepts that we talked about, shoot me an email or a Twitter message, and I will be happy to help fill in those gaps. We just don't quite have the time now to explain all of the modern format. If you want that, he's got 60-plus hours. Yeah, go
66 episodes, 67, or maybe 68 by the time this episode comes out.
Yeah,
I don't
right.
know how time works.
I think the next thing we want to talk about was actually the recent, which makes me sad we didn't talk about this last time, because now it's a week or two less recent than it was, but the recent modern bannings. We talked about how there were no changes to the Legacy ban list two shows ago. Last show we talked about how Modern uses their bannings more aggressively to control the out-of-control decks, since they don't have force of will and easy catch-all answers like Legacy does. Tell us what was recently banned in Modern, and
why, and how you feel about it.
And, yeah.
Splinter Twin was banned, and Amulet Bloom, or Summer Bloom from the deck Amulet Bloom was banned. Everyone kind of expected the Summer Bloom ban. It, as we talked about last week, Modern is a turn four format. Classically, that is what it's meant to be. And if a deck is winning too consistently before that turn, and Bloom could win on turn two, it becomes a problem. And so it generally will be banned out of the format. And since Amulet Bloom was doing that, the people that were surprised were the people that were invested in the deck already, but everyone else kind of was like, yep, that makes sense. The, oh God, the ceiling is falling. What's going to happen? You'll remember where you were when this was announced. Splinter Twin was banned. Splinter Twin was literally one of four pillars of the format since, and the one pillar that's kind of lasted other than maybe Affinity since the format was created. And for those who don't know what Splinter Twin does, it's an enchantment, goes on a creature, and you can tap it to clone that creature, and as long as that creature can untap the creature that has the enchantment on it, you can go infinite and make all of the creatures. And because it was in blue-red, the same colors of Snapcaster and Lightning Bolt, you generally stopped your opponents from doing stuff very easily until you comboed out at instant speed. When the ban was made, the negative effect of it is it kind of is the deck that a lot of people have been invested in a long time, and people did not feel like it was that stifling towards the format, meaning that now the ban list looks like it's going to be going after just the most popular deck, and with that leaves a lack of confidence in the format. Wizards gave off the opinion and has backed off a little bit from this, but they definitely still have this belief that the Pro Tour needs to be interesting, and the only way for a Pro Tour to be interesting on for them is for it to be as fresh as possible. I disagree with that, but that's a different conversation. And the best way to make it fresh is by holding the bans until right beforehand and generally banning something a little bit more established and or unbanning something more powerful to mix it up. And the last couple of years, they did some unbannings that didn't really accomplish anything. And the big bannings they did were more problem decks. So this time they banned Splinter Twin and it's gone now. I assume it generally, because the thing we've always said on our podcast is that Splinter Twin prevents people from playing sorcery spells after turn two. So if you're playing a three drop sorcery spell, you can't really play it in the format unless you're in black, because black has Thoughtseize to be able to set up your ability to do that. And hopefully we can now play, maybe people are playing Knight of the Reliquaries now, and Koth, that was, and Tezzeret, and Elsbeth, and Geist of St. Traft, who is my personal hope.
So in Legacy, it seems to me like they almost exclusively ban things when the thing that when the deck they're trying to control is too much of the metagame, is just too dominant, is half of the top eights. You know, there was an SCG event, and the Legacy portion, everyone in the top eight was playing the same deck, and and two-thirds of the room was playing that same deck. And the way I heard it is every matchup was an apology for playing this broken deck, and the other guy saying, oh, nope, my fault, I should have been playing that one too, which was followed quickly thereafter by a ban.
Yeah.
Right, and I mean, the last two time major ones were the Delve spells, and then before that right. was Survival of the Fittest?
That sounds right. I'm actually not sure what the most prior one was before the Delve spells, but
I think there were, like, unbannings and other shenanigans were happening, but those are the two last times I remember of just, like, the top eight is this deck, and it's playing these two cards, and you're going to have to deal with them. Sorry.
Yeah. Because that's the thing, is that you don't necessarily need to control the meta game as carefully because there are such versatile answers. Even the decks that were too strong, I mean, there were answers to them. I mean, Force of Will is going to stop a lot that you need to do. Mm-hmm. There's card draw engines. There are ways to combat them. It's just if the ways to combat them are too weak, if the powerful deck is just too consistent, if there's really not a reason to play any other deck, that's when they kind of step in, is to control those kinds of situations.
Well, the last couple of bannings, I think, I mean, Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time were not just in one overpowering deck. The problem was that they were in every deck. And it was just, it got to the point where you couldn't play anything that didn't have those cards in it, and that was...
I saw Mono Red Burn and Mono Green Elves both trying splash blue
for Treasure Cruise.
For those. The other thing that they have said, and it's kind of been understood by the fan base, is that they have a modern Pro Tour. They have, you know, modern is one of the more supported, more televised formats, and they don't want it to be the same every year. They don't want it to only be the same decks. They want to, shake it up. They want to force people to innovate. They don't want just every single Grand Prix to be the only the best decks. Every Pro Tour to be all the pros playing only the same deck. Because if you have something that's stable enough and you have all the pros with a lot of money on the line, they will go at a pretty far way to breaking the format and all playing the best deck. For example, in this most recent time, I know on Masters of Modern, you're talking about how a lot of the pros were saying, if it's not banned, I'm going to play Amulet Bloom at the Pro Tour. And it probably would have been half the room Amulet Bloom.
And right.
Painful to watch.
Though I am interested to see how much of the field is just going to be Eldrazi decks. The new Eldrazi deck with all the new cards.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that it'll definitely see some play, but I mean, it's not going to be something where it's 20% of the metagame.
Yeah, I believe in the deck. I really do. I'm buying into it. But I mean, it's not tuned. There's not even a consensus over what the best color combination is. So I think a lot of pros like having a slightly more tuned deck than that, since they, I don't know, maybe they'll put in the hours to try to break it, but.
Yeah, I mean, that's what pros are good at. Most pros aren't amazing at inventing decks out of thin air. Some of them are really good, and that's what they specialize in. But the thing that takes a lot of pros over to the next level is their deck tuning. So they have a set of cards in front of them that they need to break. And the Eldrazi shell is obviously there. So it wouldn't surprise me with all of those cards if they get very far into digging that deck into a hole. I mean, I know a lot of people that are very smart that are completely convinced that the next card banned out of the format will either be Eldrazi Temple or Iavugan because of just the way it breaks these cards in a way that was intentional but not intentional, debatable, et cetera, et cetera.
It wouldn't surprise me that, I mean, if somebody breaks that deck, I mean, if that is the result of the tournament, is that there's a deck that is two or so slots in the top eight and it's just like, whoa, that's a really good deck now. But I don't know that, like Jamie said, I think a lot of the pros are going to shy away from it because they won't hit on the right combination of cards, or they'll stick with something that they're a little more familiar with at this point. That's my guess.
We'll see though. That will be interesting.
Right. Yeah. I think just from the perspective of it's such a known quantity, it's going to warp the format. Even if people aren't playing it, they're going to be building their decks specifically knowing that that's the deck with a target on its face.
Sure.
Yeah. And something I think is a really interesting conversation to have then, Legacy does not have a Pro Tour, and it hasn't as long as I've been paying attention to it. And that's always made me really sad. I want Legacy to have more support from Wizards. I want it to have more visibility. And you know, as we talked a little while back, a lot of stores put on their own events, and it's really great and powerful and useful and big, big, high profile. They're the Grand Prix. They're streaming. But there's not that, you know, main Wizards event of a Pro Tour. And I've always been really kind of salty about that. But this banning has made me think that maybe I'm glad there's not a Pro Tour. Maybe I'm not willing to pay the price. People have usually said you can't have a Pro Tour that's Legacy or Vintage because there's just not enough cards out there that would be too restrictive. You know, Legacy is hard to get into. And it's not as hard as people think, but I will admit, though, if there was a Pro Tour and an entire Pro Tour season of Legacy and everyone nationwide in the same 3-month period all wanted dual lands, the price of dual lands would go up probably a lot. And it would become, as much as we say the barrier to entry is not as high as people think, if that happened, the barrier might be as high as people think.
And they did go up. I mean, if you look at Legacy before SCG was holding weekly Legacy events and after SCG, dual lands were $60 a pop. And as soon as it became a major nationwide tournament supported, you know, REL competitive event format, they went from $60 to $500. And those were, you know, those $60 were black border, were $70, $60. So like, the world that existed in, and this is 2009, 2010. This isn't even like 1998.
So there is that, which would make it difficult to have a Pro Tour and might be bad for the format. I mean, prices going up are not necessarily a sign of something not being popular. So it's not necessarily be bad for the format as far as people wouldn't be playing it because those cards are going somewhere. Somebody would be playing it. But I do like it as being a format that is able to have a podcast like this, able to have a here's how you can get started with your, you know, meager budget and still be able to, you know, buy in with something. I like that. And that, it would lose that. And the other thing, if, you know, I've heard people talk about how if there was a Pro Tour, if there was big money on the line and big prestige and everything, the pros would dedicate a lot of time and energy. And with a format that is as close to solved as Legacy is, or at least as developed and stable as Legacy is, that they would break Legacy. They would find out the best one, maybe best two decks. Some people would say we currently have that in Miracles, but they would figure out what it is, and everybody would be playing that same deck, and it would be bad for the format. It would be less diverse because if everybody figures out what the best one is, maybe nobody's playing elves except for me.
right. It becomes so more solved than
think,
it was.
What do you think about that?
I do have a question. So where do you guys stand on top and being banned?
I don't want them to ban top. I want them to ban counterbalance. I mean, if they're going to ban anything from that deck, I think I don't want them to ban top. I think top is okay, but
I mean, based on Wizards' banning policy, it's more likely because it is also a hindrance to tournament play. It is a hindrance to timing of things.
Sure.
I would rather see top banned, and I'm not sure that it needs to. I am still comfortable with how strong Miracles is. I think it is perhaps the best deck. But I don't mind there being a best deck, and I like there being a control deck in the format, and there's not really another good, solid, just control deck. Mm-hmm. So I don't really want it banned, even though it's a terrible matchup for me, and it is a high percentage of the format field. If they were going to ban something, I think top would be the thing to ban. Counterbalance would not be useless, because you still have Brainstorm and other ways to stack the top of your deck.
Yeah, it'd be way worse. I don't know that you would even play Counterbalance without the top.
Maybe not, but I honestly, I just hate seeing, good players play with top because it takes so long for them to think up the best thing, even when they're playing quickly. And I really hate seeing players who inexperienced players play with top because I mean the only way to get better is to play with it. And I'm not discouraging anybody from doing so. If you've never picked it up before, go pick it up. You got to start somewhere. But it makes games draw. It makes games slow.
Yeah.
It's not good for the format, I don't think, as far as that's concerned. So if you're going to ban something, that's the one I want to see go.
Barring new card breaking the format for whatever reason, who knows, Iavugan is good in your format too. But maybe. But is there a card other than top you think is ban possible? Ban likely?
I mean, I don't think they would ban anything out of anything except Miracles. And so I think the only two reasonable options would be top or Counterbalance.
Yeah, I mean, you could ban something else out of Miracles to try to let them still be a counter, top, lock, control deck. I'm not really sure what else you'd ban.
Well, and theoretically, Miracles could still do its game without top. The Jace and Brainstorm allow you to cast Terminus for one consistently enough.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Here's an idea, and this may be a terrible idea. I haven't thought about it. What if they banned Terminus? Just Terminus.
You still have the because the problem with top is its power level among the fact that it runs tournaments into the ground time-wise.
Right. So my thought is if you banned Terminus, then you would still give them a chance of getting their lock, which, you know, a two-card combo, as much as I actually dislike two-card combos as too easy in Modern, I think they're adorable and just try-hards, and I love it in Legacy. Like Twin in Legacy, I love it. I think that's a great little deck that I want everybody to play.
Yeah.
But that would let you still try to get your lock down, your pillow fort. It would let you try to be a control deck. But it would give other decks the ability to get some guys on the field and put pressure on you that you have to answer, you know, fairly. It would let people do their own thing on that side. It would stop you from being able to easily keep that control roll and grind the game out really long. I don't know. Maybe that would be enough to hinder it, but keep it viable.
Maybe.
And it's not in any other decks, right? It wouldn't have any other fallout. Because that's the thing is, you know, not many other decks want to run any of that other stuff, but some might. I don't think anybody else plays Terminus. Hashtag ban Terminus. That's my new,
that's the new train. Sounds like an Elves and a Maverick player to me.
I mean, maybe that might work. I mean, it would certainly make the deck worse. Maybe I don't know whether it would make it.
Does the deck just start becoming blue, white, red, and running Bonfire of the Dam instead?
I mean, maybe.
Is that replacement enough? I don't think it does. I mean, I think Terminus is very good for that reason. I don't know. It's interesting.
I think the stuff that you would want Bonfire of the Damned for, you'd rather just have Izzet Staticaster for.
I mean, you can just run Supreme Verdict. I mean, and just try to do more classic control.
I think that would be the answer. It might keep the name Miracles, but it would really just be a countertop deck that, you know, has Entreat the Angels in it. Which, I mean, countertop was a thing before, and it was a fine, fair deck. It just kind of got a little oppressive when it had all of the tools. So that is my new answer. I think that they should ban Terminus because I think that is. Think about it this way: if you're going to ban something from the deck, what card can you ban that would leave the deck most viable post ban?
I think the answer is Counterbalance.
You think it would be better without Counterbalance and with Terminus?
Yes.
I mean, I think it'd be less dangerous of a deck. I think Storm starts running over everybody, but sure.
Storm's soft to discard and counter spells and things, though. I mean, everybody has something they can do against Storm, but Storm might... Yeah, I don't know. It's a really good deck anyway.
Ban top. No, I'm actually a Miracles player, so don't ban anything.
maybe it's a fuzzier line on the whole philosophies between the two. Because they want to shake up Modern. If a deck is the best deck, it's almost certainly going to get banned, which, you know, it has this weird kind of dichotomy that I know you've talked about where you don't want your deck to do very well because you're worried that your deck will get banned if it wins a Pro Tour.
And I think from this point on, Wizards is going to separate themselves from that to a certain extent. And because Stoneforge Mystic wasn't unbanned this time around, I do believe that the GP promo's purpose is... A, to promote something that they're going to be doing this summer that I don't know what that is, but something maybe exciting involving something around those lines. But also for a, let's see what people say when we put Stoneforge Mystic up in front of them and if they think it's possible to fit in Modern and see what they say. So when we're the next year, just in case we don't have a card to ban, we can print this into the format and mix it up through a high-powered unban.
I still think it's about the tiniest, tiny little bone that they could throw Legacy players. That's my theory.
On the Pro Tour?
You're probably the promo card.
Oh.
Here's some Stoneforge Mystics, everybody. Hey, you're probably right, but still, when I saw that, I was like, oh, they like Legacy? They do love us. Daddy will come home someday. It'll be fine.
Right. I guess in that sense, but they're like. Printing that Tarmogoyf, I mean, I don't think they would because that's such an expensive card, but there are other cards that cross over between both formats where Stoneforge Mystic versus how much of their player base is focused on that format. I mean, it is also good in Commander. Like, there are other formats Stoneforge Mystic is good in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a very interesting GP promo for not being, like, it, for what its purpose is in the format.
I wanted to talk now, because I know there are a lot of people who were surprised that Twin, you know, the kind of pillar that had been around for so long and was ostensibly as powerful as they wanted the format to be, at least was thought to be, since it was a quote-unquote turn four deck. Since that's banned and a lot of people love the deck, it was their deck for a long time, mm-hmm. They've got all the cards for it. If they want to move that into Legacy, what do the two of you think about playing a Twin deck in Legacy?
People have done it, and they've had success, so it's obviously possible. The deck is pretty different in Legacy. It's way heavier on the control. The Twin deck that has mm-hmm. existed in Modern has always been sort of, I mean, a control deck, but it can also just kind of play like a Delver deck, just kind of kill you with Lightning Bolts and Vendilion Clicks and Snapcaster Mages and things. If the combo doesn't come together, they just kill you by running your life total down. The Legacy version is much more focused, at least the ones that I have seen, have been much more focused on the combo, but then there's a lot heavier control elements.
Well, so there are a lot of cards on the Modern ban list that I am now a little bit more willing to see be unbanned that I wasn't 3 weeks ago because of Splinter Twin. I think Ponder and Jace specifically are both cards that shouldn't have been, like, should not exist in Modern with a combo deck like Splinter Twin in blue available to them. Now that that deck is gone, I'm a little, like, there are other issues with Jace, but the fact that Splinter Twin in Legacy can run, you know, 2 to 4 Jaces, 4 Brainstorm, 4 Ponder, maybe some Preordains, plus Force of Will, plus other, like, Days and other free counter magic, makes it seem like a much easier combo to force through and just be a pure combo deck version of it with those control elements.
Yeah.
Like, you can dig to it easily.
Yeah, would you play Days in that list? Because it kind of needs to get up to its mana requirements for the combo. Would you still have Days in there? I mean, Days is really good, obviously.
Yeah, you play Days.
You don't use it like Delver does, where Delver does the stop you on your first spell or two, because it doesn't matter, because as long as it has a threat in play, who cares about its lands? You use it as a... almost a spell skite where you cast your combo and then they cast whatever way they have to stop it and you just use Days to stop them.
Mm. Okay. So not as much of an early play usually, and more of just a...
Well, I mean, it is a safety valve if the Storm player tries to kill you before you get your stuff together, but yeah.
That's why cards like that are so good in Legacy, is because they do double duty. They do the, it will win you the game if your opponent puts all their eggs in one basket, or it'll just do its normal quality, you know, put on its blue jeans and get to work.
Right. And generally, and depending on if this list becomes more of a popular thing and people know more of how to play against it, people will wait for you to try and cast Splinter Twin before they start interacting with you, because they get to 2-for-1 you versus, so they're not as likely to Force a Will or counter your Deceiver Exarch, but than they are versus the Splinter Twin, depending on what they have in their hand, obviously. But so you can get your creature into play, and then you'll get to your 4 mana before they start stopping you from what you're trying to do. And that's when Daze is very useful.
That makes good sense.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to talk about, I have already heard from two people that they don't trust Modern anymore. And you're talking about how you think Wizards is going to maybe pull away from the whole ban whatever's good thing because it's causing a lot of anxiety. But people, two people were talking to me and saying about how they don't really trust Modern. They don't really want to buy into Modern like they were planning to, and that they're looking to Legacy instead. Now, is Modern dead?
No. I mean, from my perspective, Splinter Twin did have negative effects on the format.
Yeah, there were a lot of decks that just really couldn't compete with that.
Wizards got hacked, so their way to present this as what happened didn't happen the way they probably wanted it to. And I also believe that in general, moving forward, Wizards listens to, like, you know, the reason they're so active on social media is they listen to the community. The reason we still have a Modern Pro Tour is because they listen to the community. So they're going to interact with their banning policy for Modern, hopefully in a much more, I guess, progressive way is the way I would call it, in the sense that either being more vocal about what's possible to be banned, or, you know, looking at the format and not... And Splinter Twin, like, in its defense, in their defense, other than maybe your actual Splinter Twins and Deceiver Exarch, which isn't even was maybe at most $10 at one point, the deck didn't lose that much value. Like, your Scalding Tarns are still good. your Mana Leaks and Snapcaster Mages and Lightning Bolts are still going to be the best cards in the format.
Clicks. Yeah, like, right. Yeah.
Yes, you're going to have to... You're losing... And this is a valid concern. You're losing the way you liked to play and have fun. But A, Kiki Jiki is still in the format. And I do... And I would be surprised if a deck didn't do well at the Pro Tour with Kiki Jiki at the top in some type of Splinter Twin shell, because the difference between the two, I mean, like, yes, you got some games going turn 3 Exarch, turn 4 Splinter Twin, you couldn't do anything, but most games were turn 4-6 Exarch and then the following turn winning, and you can do that with Kiki Jiki, and Kiki Jiki is better against removal and worse against removal at the same time. It's worse against Lightning Bolt, but it's better against every other removal spell, because you're not getting 2-for-1. Right. They have to choose which of your two combo pieces to kill instead of killing Deceiver Exarch and the Splinter Twin in the same hit.
Yeah.
So I don't think Splinter Twin is dead. I do think, you know, Modern has always had this as a policy every year. You know, Birthing Pod was the one before this, and Jund was the deck before this. I have a friend who's been on a few Pro Tours, Austin. He literally, this is the first major ban he wasn't playing the deck. He has an Eggs deck, a Storm deck, a Jund deck, all built that he just, like, one by one was hit off the table, and he's just like, yes, I didn't buy Splinter Twin, finally. He had Birthing Pod built. Yeah, like, he literally, just every one of these decks, he has a binder filled with the cards that were banned that he had played, you know, he was doing well in Modern with as it got banned. Eventually, it's just like...
I go on tangents all the time, and they're usually at least halfway relevant, but now, you know, I'm going to go on a Modern tangent. Eggs was my jam. I am so glad it was banned, because it was terrible for the format, but oh gosh, that deck was so much fun to play with. Not to play against, but to play with. Oh gosh, that was my jam. I was on that about 3 months earlier. I had not bought in, so I at least didn't lose the money. That I think that's the only time when a deck I wanted to play, I was happy to see it go away, just because it was painful to watch. It's like double Amulet Bloom.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, most Splinter Twin players, after they've calmed down, have, a lot of them have said even, you know, I realized, like, the reason you played it is because it was so good. Like, some of these decks that got banned, there is an understanding of the reason you were doing so well with them is because they were more powerful than everything else. And that's a problem. And if, you know, we walked out of this Pro Tour and we now have really cool decks out there that we didn't have before, then great. If it looks exactly the same, but there's just slightly different Splinter Twin things, fine. And if it's just all Eldrazi, and then, well, that happened.
Now we have a new problem, but at least it's a different problem.
Yeah. Right. I guess, like, the biggest complaint from my perspective is it already feels like this newest set is going to be a big effect on the format.
Mm. Yeah. It seems to be really strong.
Right. And in an interesting way, it seems pushed. It's like as if Delve came out right before the modern Pro Tour, and all of these new cards were added that are like a much higher power level than you're used to seeing printed in Standard for Modern. So there's already going to be like maybe three different Eldrazi decks, plus Tron is getting a bunch of extra bonus cards.
Yeah.
So with that, it felt like, oh, why do you need to mix the format that much if it's already going to be up in the air like that? That's why I'm afraid of the Eldrazi deck, because many people...
The best deck just went away, yeah.
Yeah, if it were trying to find a foothold in an established metagame, it might have trouble. Now everybody's in shift, so it's kind of on an equal footing with everybody, even though it's
and
new.
And the conversations I had with pros before the banning announcement, where they expected nothing to happen, they were already being like, these cards are the best. I am really high on the Eldrazi deck. And then, like, Splinter Twin, which is arguably a bad matchup for that deck, goes away. And the format is now shaken up, but that deck is still good.
Well, you know, being as that, as I said, I'm currently looking at the Eyes of Eldrazi that I picked up. You know, I hate buying into a spike after it started, so I paid $10 for these Eyes, and as of right now, I think they're 50, 40, something like that.
Nice ride in the wave.
I'm hoping that it puts up one deck in the top eight. And that's in the finals. That's what I hope. So that the deck still keeps going up, but not bannable. That's my crossed fingers. We'll see if it happens. I had one idea. I actually had two ideas on banlist. And this is, again, another tangent that I'm not sure how applicable it would be for Legacy, since the Legacy bannings are more slow and steady and a little predictable than in Modern. One was if you actually had a watch list where... You know, they said, okay, you know, nothing's being banned this time. Here are the three which might. And then you can't be banned unless you were on the watch list 3 months previously. Mm. Would that be good? Would that be worthwhile?
We definitely brought that up on our reacting to ban list episode that came out the week we're recording. Mm. But I think it's a great idea. I think it's something Wizards should consider. I have gotten feedback now that there might be some resistance. And this isn't from anyone official, this is just from people commenting, but it does reek a little bit of Wizards acknowledging the secondary market, which is something they can't do for legal reasons. Mm. I don't know if that's true. I know that if Wizards started just being like, these are the four cards we're thinking are dangerous, it'll at least make people less surprised when they get banned. But how much of that is just how different from that is also just banning a card? And now I'm playing devil's advocate against myself from earlier this week, where I was high on the train of yes, let's make a watch list. But
you now have my lawyer brain going like at full
speed.
I'm
pretty sure there's no reason they can't.
I don't know if you are making your choices and you are aware that it's screwing somebody else over, and I don't know if you've got contracts for purchases of cards. You'd have to get creative to try to pin something on them, but. My brain's trying to go creative right now. That's a rabbit hole I'm going to do in my own
time. It's manipulating the secondary card market, and it's not the legal issue isn't the promises you'd made. Is does the SEC get involved with market manipulation from that person?
Security is right. Almost. I mean,
are they
MTG
securities?
Stocks
I don't
is
think securities.
What? No, but MTG Stocks is one of my favorite websites that I go to check prices. That we all understand that this is unsecured stock.
It is
market.
Like buying stocks. Yes.
I literally went online yesterday and picked up four Consecrated Sphinxes because there were only 10 of them left on TCG Player at $19 a pop, and today they are each at $50 a pop. That is a stock market.
All right, I gotta go check my Canadian websites that don't update their prices quickly enough and see if they still got some of those. That's one thing which might fix the problem, but yeah, might cause some other problems.
A few of the ideas we had, one of them was no longer having a Modern Pro Tour, but then having a super GP is how we referred to it, but basically either on off years or every year, but off year, what the final thing we came to is off years with Masters of Modern, the Modern Masters set releases, having a big Modern GP that is a 3-day event in Vegas that's comparable, and try just making it, here's your big pro play Modern tournament that we will put a lot of viewership towards, but it's not a pro tour that is open to the public. The other option someone brought up was having one that's not a pro tour, but associated. The problem that that gets into, other than us just getting a super sweet tournament, which could be a legacy thing too, theoretically, is A, you don't have the invitational process, which is important to the pro tour. It's why we watch it. And B, it still doesn't solve the problem that Wizards will be focusing. Well, I guess the reason it solves the problem that Wizards is focusing is because in reality, a pro tour is a marketing event. The Pro Tour is Wizards is trying to sell their sets. That's why it's called Pro Tour Oath of the Gatewatch. And the original reason they tried making everything standard is because standard is the easiest way for them to make focused on the new cards.
I have a tin hat theory that I just came up with, and I'm sure it's been said before, maybe even on your podcast, and I missed it. I think that we might be able to expect that every fourth set now is purposefully pushed to have modern viable cards. Because
every winter modern, small set, mean?
Every other small set. Because if a Pro Tour Oath of the Gatewatch doesn't have any Oath of the Gatewatch cards, that's a little bit of a problem for them.
I could definitely see them doing it, but the thing with Wizards, and it doesn't make sense to us because we all play this game and we're like, oh, but we play modern all the time. How do you not? They spend zero resources on testing formats that aren't standard or limited.
Yeah, but I'm sure that they are aware enough that they knew that a lot of these cards would be good.
These are all guys that play Magic. I mean, they have played Modern. They've played, most of them have probably played Legacy. They play Commander. They have an idea of, like, when they print a card, they're like, oh, this, like, I could play this in Modern. They know it's going to see play. Or not.
Yeah, they all knew that Eye of Ugin was a card when they started designing the set.
They may have forgotten that it was a card, or like how stupid good it was with.
They put it in the Modern Masters.
I guarantee
the Temple in Modern Masters. They were seeing
this. They did not play a single game with the new Eldrazi spells and Eye of Ugin in the same deck, unless they were considering reprinting Eye of Ugin at some point. Because you have to remember, they don't take these cards out of the store. They don't go to the local game store and take the new cards and see how those new cards do with modern cards. The only place they can even play with these is in-house, and they spend zero resources in-house on testing these formats. They have some vague understanding, but when your brain is in the trenches of what does this standard format look like, the ability to care and look at what these older formats look like is harder.
Yeah, they probably did not consider, like, oh, gee, man, Urborg and Eye of Ugin, that is a 4-drop Eldrazi on turn 2.
And they may have thought about it, and someone definitely maybe pointed it out, but they definitely more were like, oh, Thought-Not-Seer is doing the right thing against Dark Jeskai that we needed to do in the format to make Mardu better, so let's make sure that that's in there. And
right, not like, is this going to be super broken in modern? Yeah.
Or like, how does this do against, you know, Skunk? Shadows over Innistrad as a format is too strong because most of our discard spells that help fight it, put it into the graveyard. Let's give Thought-Not-Seer exile.
Exile, so that, right.
So like all that kind of stuff.
One other idea that I had, and I think I've been convinced that it's a bad idea, but I'd like your take on it, is what if they banned some cards and they just said, okay, this card, you know, it's too powerful. Jitte or Skull Clamp or something. Like, these are being locked away. We don't foresee these being unbanned soon. But if others, they just flat out said, look, we're banning this for a year or for 2 years, or this one's a temporary, this is a shakeup ban. And they just had where you knew it would come back eventually. And it would make it a rotating format, but where things all rotate back in.
And only like one or two cards at a time. I would like to see cards come off the ban list. There are definitely things. I know in Legacy there are some cards I would love to see come off the ban list, because I don't think they would actually. Partially, I don't know whether they'd be any good or not, but I'd like to see whether they could be good. And there are probably some cards in Modern that I'd like to see that with too.
Yeah, I definitely think there are cards that can be unbanned. I talk about it often. I definitely think there are cards that should probably be banned, Blood Moon being one of them. But people propose that often, I guess. I've heard that before, at least. And that is what Yu-Gi-Oh! I think does. I don't know for sure, because I've never played it. But my general understanding is the way that they function.
I retract my suggestion.
Is that they have a rotating ban list. And that's how they keep cards that are expensive or inexpensive priced. I don't obviously have no idea because I don't play the game, but that's what I've been told. It offers a level of instability, which is, I think, not what most modern players generally want from the format. I think diversity is good, and that's what you want. And I mean, you guys play Legacy. You, from my perspective, I don't want my Eternal format mixing around all the time. What I want is consistency with diversity. So I play my deck and I'm good at it, and I get to play against 12 different opponents. That's what I'm looking for diversity. I'm not looking for me having to change my deck every 3 months, 6 months, etc.
Because Treasure Cruise just came back in and I need to be playing blue now because
I guess that's right. And what Andrew Rudiger was the one who told me this on Twitter. He was saying that people would just stop playing if they knew it was going to come back in 6 months or something like that. They just say, all right, well, I'm going to keep my twin deck together and I'll just play EDH for 6 months.
2015 is not the year for me, I guess. So I'll see you in 2017.
Yeah, and that's the thing I worry.
Right.
Yeah. But that's the thing I worry about, but I'm still toying with the idea because, you know, okay. Yeah. I play elves and I love the idea that elves is not going to get banned anytime soon. It's going to be at least a decent playable deck in 1, 2, 5 years. If there was a Pro Tour and if they decided, okay, we need to shake it up every time and this time we want to get rid of an elf deck, that would make me hate Legacy probably, and I wouldn't want to spend the money to buy into it. But if I knew that it would come back, then it's almost just like saying the metagame shifts and elves isn't good right now. And it'll be good again later, so don't sell off all your cards.
Well, that's kind of what Extended was. If you look at what Extended was, because it was a format that really only was played during the tournament scene, like when it was the season, because people didn't like it because it was an expensive format that your cards didn't stick around. And that's like what would happen. I do think people would still play Modern, but it would just be the tournament pre-TQ grinders and the, you know, community that's built up around it would start dwindling away at each of their decks. And then, you know, yes, you know, Splinter Twin will come back, but then you'll misplace pieces or you'll grab your Snapcaster Mages for your EDH deck and then it'll come back and you'll be like, I don't want to build it again. And you'll slowly lose pieces of the format or players in the format.
Maybe that's right. I just have this idea that if maybe instead of saying it will come back in 6 months, if you just said, look, we're going to unban at least one card per year, and we're going to unban at least one card for every two cards that we ban or something, just to show that anything that gets banned will come probably back eventually.
I think what we have now is Wizards has done as much as they can to say that without actually legally binding themselves and promising it. So just in case they don't get in trouble.
You don't want them to get into a spot where it's like, well, we really have to pick between one of these two really damaging cards to unban, like,
or like the format's in a great spot and like their new set's coming in hitting hard and
right. Do we really want to also put right. the Treasure Cruise back in Legacy?
Or like there's the no card time. To ban. Like, what if they're like, oh well, I guess we have like, okay, here's Stoneforge Mystic, but we have to ban something also. So sorry, Affinity. Goodbye, Cranial Plating.
Yeah, you lose your mocks. Yeah, or right.
All
yeah.
right, fine. You guys right. win. You're right. Before we go any further, I do want to thank our sponsor. We are sponsored, as always, by CoolStuffInc.com. Great website for buying, selling singles. They are a site where you can get increased sale prices depending on how much you've purchased there before. So they really do reward loyalty in their customers, which I appreciate. We are hosted on GatheringMagic.com. Great website for years of content, actually, of articles and podcasts. We also have a specific sponsor for just this episode. TitleInfluence.com is there to give you the title that you deserve. If you think that you're more of a sir, more of a duke, more of a lord or an esquire, they'll make sure that it's attached to every instance of your name online. Your influence will be greatly increased by this title, and they will be sure to make sure that it is personally tailored to you. Do you want to be a merfolk lord, an elf lord, a lord of the dance? They'll make sure that Google knows your preferred title, and your influence is seen far and wide as Duke Lord Sissy Pants, which is, of course, my alternate name. Moving on.
Banned card of the day will be Bazaar of Baghdad. This is a staple in vintage decks. It's a land, and it says you tap it, you draw two cards and discard three cards.
Sounds terrible.
Except that if you want things in your graveyard, and maybe there are also things with the dredge mechanic on them, this is super stupid.
Yeah, when instead of draw two, discard three, it says mill yourself for 18 or something. Yeah,
it's pretty stupid. It's thoroughly ridiculous. It was, you know, balanced probably in the early days when there weren't really graveyard strategies, and this was just a way to, like, on a land, and so zero mana, but nonetheless a bad way to sift through your deck because it cost you a card every time you did it. You know, whatever, fine. But once your graveyard started being usable as a resource, this got super, super broken. I had the misfortune once of playing against this card in a cube. It was preposterous. The things I knew that it was a powerful card, but once you've seen it in action, it's really, it's terrifying.
The fact that people with this in their deck will just mulligan until they get to it tells you something about how strong it is.
Yeah. It sees a lot less play now because they've printed some better graveyard hate in recent years than there used to be. Especially the artifact graveyard hate is now a thing. But it's still an extremely stupid, powerful card that we talk about some things that, like, graveyard decks are not really a thing in Legacy. Maybe we could unban some things and they would be safe to put in Legacy.
Don't unban this.
This would be totally over the edge. No. Bad news bears.
All right. Let's do some wrapping up. I think we've hit kind of all the topics that I wanted to. How can people reach you? How can they get in touch with you and tell us about your show?
As I said last week, you can find me on the Masters of Modern podcast. We do modern content. That's our main jam. You can find me on Twitter at the MMcast. Is our podcast Twitter, and then I am personally at Kes Wiley if you have Magic questions. But if you want to talk Star Warsy things, my personal one's probably better for there. Make sure to check out, we're at rocketjump.com, so they do awesome sketches, and Jimmy and Josh have the Command Zone, which is our sister podcast. They do Commander content. Yeah, that's kind of the major things about Alex Kessler.
Great. If you want to get in touch with me, ask me about some cards we talked about here, send me some of your cards, you can contact me at jamie7keller@gmail.com or on Twitter. The show is legacyweaponpodcast@gmail.com or mtglegacyweapon on Twitter.
And I'm at mtgdrewalton.
And you're the only one who isn't on Twitter because you are either really, really cool or really, really lame, depending on how much you value having a life in the real world with big finger quotes that you can't
see. I will say Twitter has gotten me in trouble this week. So last weekend, which is when the banning announcements happened, we got a lot of interactions. But because of that, I've been interacting with it a lot. And as the person pretending to be our Twitter account, I refer to myself as Kessler in the third person because I'm supposed to be the podcast, not myself personally. And I've started referring to myself in the third person in my real world life. Like, well, Kessler thinks that this is going to happen. I'm just like, wait, no.
Kessler's a little hungry now. I think he wants a sandwich. Yeah.
So stay away from Twitter or go on Twitter right now and follow me because I'm almost at 666 followers, and then I'll get to be the devil for an instant.
Okay, you're going to think I'm really, really, like, weird and superstitious. When I was getting there, I purposefully followed and unfollowed myself so that I could, like, skip.
Oh,
it,
nice.
I don't know. I
was at 597, which is exactly 69 away from 666, and that's when I decided to share people should start following me.
Well, I think that was really great, and why don't you close us out? Which means pick something to say is the best Legacy weapon.
Until next time, make sure to play with your Stoneforge Mystics and start weaponing. They search for weapons. They're obviously the best Legacy weapon. They get more weapons. Stoneforge Mystic, best Legacy weapon. Until next time, goodbye.
If you're talking, I can't hear you.
Silence. Silence is the best Legacy weapon.
I think your audio died. That was very, very odd timing.
Yeah.
Did that work?
I think he disappeared.
I don't know.
We lost Alex.
Oh, did my phone die? Oh, my phone died. Oh, no.